gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, welcome to a wonderful Wednesday. Hi, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. And we want to welcome you to today's Refresh radio broadcast. And we want to say thank you, first of all, today to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. I know that there are some people, they want the newest fly-by-night company and things of that nature to come out, and they make all these great promises and everything. But I want to encourage you to consider Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, because they have been around for 40-plus years, providing professional sales, service, and repairs in air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. They work in residential and commercial settings. If you have a problem that rises up after hours and you need emergency service, they provide that as well whenever it's necessary. And they will strive to give you the best service possible at an affordable price. So when you find yourself in need of their services, or even before, write down their number, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And when that need arises, you won't have to go wondering how you're going to find that phone number. You can give them a call right away and get to that problem resolved. So, like I said, Merritt Assembly of God, we're a church that's been around since 1952. Next year will be the church's 70th anniversary, and we are excited about that. The church, I think it used to be a dance hall back when our founding pastor came and started the church there in 1952, and then they replaced the sanctuary at some point in time in the 50s or 60s, and we have worked diligently over the last 28 years to update its appearance as best we can. And quite frankly, I don't think it's ever looked better. Even when it was new, I don't think it looked as good as it does now. And we just continue to advance and modernize and improve the technology. But really, the goal is not about the building. The goal is about the church. And the church is made up of some wonderful, wonderful people. And we would love for you to come and be a part of that, because we believe that you are a wonderful person. And so this is my personal invitation to you to come out. Wednesday night services, we have youth at 7 p.m. We have Bible study at 7 p.m. for the adults. And then Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30. And that would be great if you could come out and be a part of that, because we don't believe we're done yet. We believe that there's still room to grow and still things to be accomplished here in beautiful Brevard County, and especially Merritt Island. Come and join us. Come and be a part of what God is doing, and we will be blessed to have you there. We're going back to Isaiah chapter 59. We've spent a few days in this chapter already talking about all of the horrific things that were going on in Judah at this time. And, you know, by the time you get to chapter 59, you're probably into the reign of Hezekiah, who was one of the better kings. Jotham was a good king. Uzziah started out well, didn't finish well. His son Jotham came on. He did okay, but the people didn't do well. And then his son came on the scene. I believe his name was Ahaz, and he didn't do good. And so Hezekiah comes on the scene, and things start to improve. But there was a great deal of social inconsistency with the people and what God had mandated in his word. And so we've talked about that. And so on yesterday's program, we concluded with this: the way of peace they have not known. There is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Now listen to verse number 9. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. Let's stop the reading there for right now. So verse number 9 says that there are consequences to living as a people, as a society, and doing it wrong, doing it different than what God says. And it says, therefore, justice is far from us. So remember, it says there is no justice in their ways. This time he says, therefore, justice is far from us. We're a long way from justice. So the consequence for living a life contrary to what God wants you to live is that the distance from you to justice increases drastically. Injustice shows us how far away from God we are as a society. So, you can listen to a lot of politicians who can make a lot of excuses for what's going on in their cities, but if there's injustice there, then you really need to stop playing semantical games, and you need to start looking at the Word of God and saying, God, where have we missed it? See, the sad thing is that nobody wants to step back and assess and say, how did we get here? Okay? More than likely, it wasn't a one-act play. More than likely, it was making crooked paths and refusing to abandoning those crooked paths. Okay? You don't want to do that. You don't want to continue the same path you've been on if you are already seeing that destruction is coming your way. So here not too long ago, I was driving with my wife. We were going towards Cocoa Beach, and we could tell that we were driving into a storm. That wasn't going to hinder us. The point of this story, it doesn't have to do with us, but the point was that there were people who were headed that direction that were on foot, that were on bicycles. And whether they saw the storm or not, they just continued on that path. They were exposed. They weren't covered. They were a lot more vulnerable. And I was looking at them and saying, man, if I saw that storm coming, I would be finding a place of refuge and waiting for the storm to pass over. But they just continued heading right on into the storm. And I think in America right now, that there are a lot of people who, if they really stopped and assessed the situation, they would say, we have messed up badly. But they're so, so committed to not admitting that they were wrong that they just continue to pursue a path that compels justice farther and farther away from the people that they're supposed to be serving. That could be true of a dad. That could be true of a mother. That could be true of a pastor. That could be true of presidents, of mayors, of governors. And they just keep pushing justice farther and farther away. And remember, justice, biblical justice, begins with our relationship with God. So it says, not only is justice far from us, but righteousness does not overtake us. Now, there are certain things that you don't ever want to overtake you. They talk about that, on the African plains, the slowest gazelle has to be faster than the fastest lion. And you don't ever want to get overtaken. Overtaken in that case is a bad thing. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime tragedy. So gazelle's got to be faster than the fastest lion, and the lion's just got to be faster than the slowest gazelle. That seems to be a little bit easier of a task. But here, I want you to know there are some things that God wants to overtake you. He wants righteousness to overtake you. He wants right standing with God to come up and overwhelm you in your lifestyle. Okay? I believe that God wants blessing to overtake you. I believe that he wants the blessings of God to come up. And this is one of the ways that I pray for people when I come up. It's not a long prayer. It's kind of an impromptu thing. And every once in a while, I just come up from behind. I'll grab a guy by the shoulders and I'll say, may the blessings of God overtake you in Jesus' name. Because that's the will of God. The blessing of peace. We talked about that yesterday. You can go back and listen to that. But God wants right standing with God and right standing with men to be a reality. And so it's not something he wants to pass us by. He actually wants that to be our new lifestyle. And I know people. Listen, I've had opportunities. I've had opportunities where people told me, if you lie to me, I'm going to believe you. And my response to them was this: I am not jeopardizing my right standing with God just to have this inconvenience overtake me, and I will not lie to you. Okay? Because right standing with God, right standing with my church, those things are not anything that I'm willing to jeopardize. There are things that I do not do because I will not jeopardize my right standing with my wife. There are things that I will not do because I will not jeopardize my right standing with my children. There are things that I do not do because I don't want to jeopardize right standing with the community. And then they use unrighteousness. They use sin, iniquity. They would use that as a justification for not putting their faith in God. So I won't do it. It is not worth it. So, nor does righteousness overtake us. And now it says this: the things that we look for. We look for light, but there is darkness. We look for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. There's no illumination. There's no revelation. Excuse me. There's no vision. He says, as a result, in verse number 10, we stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. It says in verse 11, we all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. Now, I don't know who writes all of the Christian songs, but I think that there is one particular letter that gets used more than any other letter as a declaration in song. So, you know, you've got 26 letters, and freestanding, you've got some A's that are used. You've got the word I that is used, A-E-I-O-U. And I believe that the word that gets used more than anything else is the word O. You say, where in the world is he going with it? So there is this commercial on television. It says, don't become your parents. And one of the things that parents tend to do is they tend to make this moaning sound whenever a body that's not been in motion needs to be in motion, or when it's in motion and it suddenly comes to rest and things start moving a little bit differently. And so one day I was in the church office, and I had to sit down, and I went, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I said, now I know why they use that word, oh. They don't want to just moan without cause or without reason, but you can use that as a trigger to start praising God. Here, society is going to eventually lead place where all they can do is be angry as a wild bear, or as depressed as a dove, because they're looking. Listen, they've been saying, we look for light, we look for justice, but there isn't any. There is none. By the way, did you know that when Jesus comes back, he said, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? It might come as a news flash to many of you that Jesus has expectations of us. He believes in the power of God dwelling inside of us, that we are going to be able to accomplish great things. So in the parable of the talents, he expected that there were that the servants he entrusted with his teachings, with his methods, with his resources, that they were going to produce the same results that he did. And the person that went and buried it, he said, wait a minute, that doesn't meet my expectations. Well, it is unreasonable. It is irrational. It is an intellectual disconnect for people to reject the spiritual aspect of God's standards for society and yet still expect the same illumination, the same light, that they could still look for justice. So when my kids hit their teenage years, you know, there's always going to be some bumps in the road there. Sometimes there's some potholes and some roads out of commission, need to be repaired and all that sort of stuff. But I told them, I said, if you expect my provision, then you need to honor the ways of the house. okay? There are a lot of people who are telling God that they don't want to do life His way, but yet they're still expecting His provision. And so through the years, I'm not talking about my family at this point in time, because they learned that this was not the rule of the house. But there have been a lot of teenagers who got to a point where they said, look, I'm old enough to be making some of my own decisions. And as a result of that, I'm not going to do what you, my parents, want me to do. And by the way, I expect you to continue to provide me everything that I want and need. And I was like, who teaches them these values? I mean, do they learn it in the music? Do they learn it from the television programs that they watch? Do they learn it from their friends? Do they learn it in school? Because they certainly weren't learning it from church. But there were a lot of kids that went through that. And, you know, there is such a thing as the school of hard knocks. And I don't encourage you ever enrolling in that school, because it's painful and it's expensive. So there were people who were looking for justice, and they said, we couldn't find it anywhere. Okay? A continued lifestyle of sin while they continued looking for justice. Verse number 11 concludes, it says, for salvation, we were looking for salvation, but it is far from us. We were looking for someone who would save us, but it's far away. The reason is in verse number 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. So, transgression is rebellion. And it says the reason that justice was far away, the reason that they were moaning, the reason that they had no vision, that they were left behind to find their way and feel their way through, it says the reason, that was the for our transgressions are multiplied before you. Have you ever felt like your bills were just multiplying? Have you ever felt like your problems were just multiplying? See, I loved math. One of the things that I remember growing up was learning my multiplication tables. And I will tell you that there are some people that try and convince us now that math doesn't matter. But I will tell you that very early in our marriage, when finances were very, very lean, the bank let us know that math mattered. I don't know if you've ever made a calculation error. Rarely do you make a calculation error in a way that is going to protect you. A lot of times there is some subtraction errors. And one of those times we made a subtraction error, and the bank processed the checks before the deposit was processed. And let me tell you, we discovered at that point in time, we haven't had one of these in decades, but we discovered that late fees or overdraft fees or bounced checks fees or whatever it was, that they began to multiply. You see, the problem with rebellion is it's generally not a one-time experience. It begins to multiply and increase because sin is always craving more, more, more. And it says that the transgressions were being multiplied before capital Y-O-U. In other words, the transgressions, the rebellions were being multiplied before God. He was standing there witnessing it. So remember, when you're looking for justice, you have God, the just, the righteous, the holy, who is sitting on the throne, and He is also the eyewitness to everything that has gone on in our life. He knows the things that we do, the things that we watch, the thing He knows the things that we or the reasons and the intentions for why we did what they were. And so even if no one else knows, God knows. God knows. The transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. Moses told the people, these rocks are going to testify as to whether you kept the covenant with God or not. And he says, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, now listen to this, we know them. We know them. One of the reasons that people in sin are as miserable as they are is because God equipped all of us to know what is right and what is wrong in His eyes. He says creation testifies. You know how you're supposed to treat God. You know how you're supposed to treat one another. And many times, you know that those problems are right there with you, and you know what they are. You know, when I give an altar call at church, I don't have to list off a list of things that everybody's done, because your list might be different than my list. You know what your list is, and the Holy Spirit knows what your list is. And so when I give an altar call, let me tell you what it is. It's the Holy Spirit coming and say, how about we take care of this list of problems today? How about we take care of this list of rebellion, this list of sins that is growing day by day? Why don't we ask God to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from your unrighteousness? And let's satisfy this debt through the blood of Jesus today. Don't go another day with your sins, your rebellion, your iniquities multiplying against you. Ask Jesus to wipe them away today. And you know what? He will. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Savior, be my strength.